Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the New York Times bestselling author Claire McIntosh, who's out with her new novel, After the End. She's a former law enforcement officer who's entertained us for several years with her suspense novels, but this time around she leaves that world of law enforcement behind on the pages and tells us about Max and Pip Adams. They're a married couple who need to make a life-altering decision about their son, Dylan, who's critically ill with a brain tumor, but Max and Pip do not agree on the best choice of action. Claire, this plot on this novel, very personal to you. It's a suspenseful book, just as suspenseful as your previous crime novels, but when you went through a similar situation in your own life, how did the suspense in real life differ from what we read in the book?
So 12 years ago, my son was critically ill in an intensive care unit here in the UK, and my husband and I were asked to make a decision. We were asked whether we wanted our son to live or die. And I remember asking the doctor at that point, what happens if we don't agree? Because we were like many married couples. We had all sorts of disagreements, and none of them had ever mattered before, but here suddenly was something that we couldn't possibly compromise on. And the doctor said, you have to, because the alternative is unthinkable. And we spent a very long time, as you can imagine, trying to imagine what life would be like, either with a profoundly disabled son, with life-limiting illnesses, and a life without our son. And ultimately, my husband and I did agree that the kindest thing to do was to say goodbye to our son and give him dignity in death. The story that I've written after the end, it stems from that conversation with the doctor and her saying it would be unthinkable. So the book is about the unthinkable.
This whole idea that of the book being based on that conversation, how long has this seed been planted in your mind that this could become a book? Or was this something that was so deeply personal that you just decided you didn't want to write about it for a period of time?
I don't think I could have written about it back then, Brian, to be honest. It was too raw. And also, although I wanted to write this book, and I could see very clearly the way I wanted to structure it, and maybe we'll talk about that in a moment, but also I realize now that I've needed those intervening years, because although the book is about a heartbreaking decision, it's actually, as the title suggests, it's about what comes afterwards. And so those intervening years have shown me that it's possible to love again, to live again, to rebuild a life after a horrific decision like that.
Well, the way the book is structured, you've structured it so it's told from multiple storylines. There's two possible outcomes. How do you go from that general plot in your mind of this situation to deciding how to tell the story in that way?
When my husband and I were faced with this choice, I remember standing outside the hospital in the car park, and I phoned my father, who was a doctor himself, and I can't imagine how horrific that call must have been for him, but he was very wise and very calm with me, and he said, you have to imagine these two different paths. You have to think about what life will be like in 5 years, 10 years, with each path that you can take. And I was reminded of a poem that I've always loved by Robert Frost called The Road Not Taken, where he talks about standing in a wood, a yellow wood, and he says, would that I could be one traveler and travel both roads. And I knew really very early on with this book that what I wanted to do was show those two paths. And so we follow the father's future if he wins at court, because ultimately it's presented to a high court judge to decide what's best for their child. And we also follow the mother's path if she wins at court and is allowed to take her son out of intensive care. And really, it was such a fundamental, important part of the novel for me, because I didn't want to judge anybody that has to make either a decision as difficult as this or any sort of life-changing decision, I wanted to show that whatever path you take, there are good outcomes and there are bad outcomes.
Well, you brought up the idea about the judge at the high court having to make this decision, and we see these cases in the media, and this wasn't your situation, I know, but it seems to me a judge having to make this decision, that's no different than somebody flipping a coin. Judges aren't medically trained. They don't have any vested interest. Is that really the greatest way that in 2019 we know how to handle these situations?
It's horrific, isn't it? We've had a number of high-profile cases that have certainly the cases here in the UK that have made headlines the world over. Charlie Gard and Alfie Evans are two names that have been in the press in recent years. And I think it throws up some really difficult decisions. Who is best placed to make those decisions? Is it the parents? Is it the medical staff? Or is it the legal profession? And when there are disagreements, either between parents and medical staff or between parents themselves, then rightly or wrongly, I think the only recourse then is to take it to the courts. But I agree, it's a horrific position to put anyone in.
Even though the parents in this novel, Max and Pip, are not you and your husband, you seem to have known them extremely well as you wrote the book. How did you get to know them so well, probably before you even put pen to paper?
That's such a good question. Thank you. It's been very different, actually, writing this book to my crime novels, where the preparation has really been around the plot, the twists and the turns and the pacing. In After the End, my preparation was indeed the characters, and so before I wrote anything, I took lots of walks and went swimming and just thought about who these people were, where did they come from. Pip grew up in Birmingham, UK. Max is from Chicago. What are their values? What were their families like that shaped the way that they think and therefore the decision that they might make about a child's life? And only when I knew them absolutely inside out, as well as I know my own family, was I able to start writing.
I'm chatting with Claire McIntosh about her brand new novel, After the End. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Claire, as I read this book from the different viewpoints, it seems like you have the viewpoints of the parents and then the viewpoints of the Persian doctor, who I thought was a great character, and we'll get to her in a second. But do you find yourself as an author getting biased toward one viewpoint or another, and that affects the way you write that particular character?
I was worried that I would, yes. And then actually what happened is I found whoever's viewpoint I was writing from was the viewpoint that I believed in. I could understand why they felt so passionately that they knew what was right for Dylan, the child. And then I would switch perspective and start writing from someone else's point of view, and suddenly I was absolutely convinced that they knew what was best.
When I talked about the Persian doctor, it's Dr. Khalil, and she, her character was very, very complex here. And so does that provide you as an author a respite from the heady emotional writing of the parents when you have a doctor who has been through these types of situations before and is really a neutral third party?
Absolutely, and I think probably even more importantly, a respite for the reader. From what can be a very intense chapter from a parent's point of view. The doctor, Leila Khalili, was actually arrived as a sort of structural necessity, because when you're writing from a first-person point of view, from the parent's point of view, you can only narrate what they see, and actually I needed to be able to narrate other elements of the story as well. And then as soon as she arrived, because it very much felt as though she arrived in my head sort of fully formed, I knew that she was far more than that. She was absolutely an important character in her own right. I was keen for her to be from somewhere other than Britain, where the hospital is, because when I was in hospital, and the people that saved my life and my children's lives and worked so hard to save my son Alex's life were very often not British-born, and I wanted to pay tribute to the foreign-born doctors and nurses who prop up the UK's National Health Service and save lives all the time. So it was really important, and her background, it again influences how she feels, what she believes. In fact, with Layla, I ended up getting so engrossed in her character that I wrote far too much, and my editor very gently pointed out that I was sort of writing two books at the same time. So I actually deleted about 30,000 words of Layla's story, which might appear somewhere else in the future, perhaps.
Do you find that doctors who are in this situation of having to advise parents tell them everything that they know, or is there a certain art to what the doctor is willing to share with the parents, because some of it would be above the parents' even ability to understand?
Yes, that's really interesting. I suppose the honest answer is I don't know, having not, you know, I've only been on one side of that conversation. I suspect that you're right, that they have to choose very carefully what parents need to understand. And it must be so difficult to try and explain it in such a way that it makes sense. What struck me as when we were having to make this decision was it felt suddenly so unfair that right up until that point, all the decisions had been made by the doctors. You know, what drugs to give my son and what operations to do. And suddenly, this most important decision was being given to us. And I didn't feel equipped to make it. I knew what my heart was saying, but I didn't feel my head knew enough about it to understand.
Did you find yourself, as you wrote this book, as opposed to when you, your former law enforcement, writing a crime novel, did you feel a little fish out of water type of a situation where you're trying to write about medical things, having to research that?
Completely, yes. So I was a police officer for 12 years, and it means that my crime novels were very easy to write in many respects. I was able to create an authentic setting and dialogue without really having to think too much about it. So now writing about the legal framework and in a medical setting, I had to do so much more research. But I really loved it. I worked very closely with some barristers and with an intensive care nurse who gave me so much information, not just about the sort of, you know, the drugs and the actual the job itself, but about the atmosphere and the emotions that medical staff go through.
I know police officers meet characters of all different ilk, and did you find that any of your law enforcement experience helped as far as character development when you're working on relationships?
Yes, absolutely. I think probably the most valuable thing that my police experience has given me is a huge degree of empathy for people in all sorts of situations. And so now I can write about, I can put myself in the shoes of people from very different backgrounds to my own and create authentic characters that people find compelling and want to find out what happens to.
All right, the book is After the End. It's the brand new novel from Claire McIntosh. It's available now wherever fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Claire, this was just an absolutely, I thought, a perfectly done book, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things. Thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Well, thank you, Brian. That was lovely.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
This is the end. Beautiful.